We believe that God has given us these psalms for us to sing and to meditate on. They're psalms that speak of God as our object of worship, as the one who created, the one who redeems. We believe they point us to Jesus Christ. And as I read Psalm 104, I hope that you will hear these as the Word of God. Psalm 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, who cover yourself with light as with a garment, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain. He lays the beams of his upper chambers in the waters, who makes the clouds his chariots, who walks on the wings of the wind, who makes his angels spirits, his ministers a flame of fire. You who laid the foundations of the earth so that it should not be moved forever, you covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke they fled. At the voice of your thunder they hastened away. They went up over the mountains. They went down into the valleys, to the place which you founded for them. You have set a boundary that they may not pass over, that they may not return to cover the earth. He sends the springs into the valleys. They flow among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. By them the birds of the heavens have their home. They sing among the branches. He waters the hills from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle, and vegetation for the service of man, that he may bring forth food from the earth, and wine that makes glad the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengthens his heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon, which he planted, where the birds make their nests, the stork has her home in the fir trees. The high hills are for the wild goats, the cliffs are a refuge for the rock badgers. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knows its going down. You make darkness, and it is night, in which all the beasts of the forest creep about. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their food from God. When the sun rises, they gather together and lie down in their dens. Man goes out to his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions, the great and wide sea in which are innumerable teeming things, living things both small and great. There the ships sail about. There is that Leviathan which you have made to play there. These all wait for you, that you may give them their food in due season. What you give them, they gather in. You open their hand. They fill, you open your hand, and they are filled with good. You hide your face, and they are troubled. You take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He looks on the earth and it trembles. He touches the hills and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be sweet to him. I will be glad in the Lord. May sinners be consumed from the earth and the wicked one be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. During the springtime, we often notice the beauty of the world around us. After a long, dark winter, when all the grass and the flowers and the trees are lying dormant, it's easy to become a little blue and to think it's always going to be this kind of gray, dull, lifeless world. But then March and April come, and sure enough, the crocuses come up, the daffodils bloom, the red buds start to blossom, and all of those allergies come out. And we know that the world is alive again. In fact, sometimes we comment that I'd forgotten how green the world can be, especially here in Oklahoma when a long dry summer goes into a long dry winter and then spring comes, and it's just really amazing how green Oklahoma can be. Spring reminds us of revival. It reminds us of life after death, of God's promises to sustain the world throughout all of history. And Psalm 104 is a really good psalm to sing during the springtime, as we are reminded that of God's goodness in the creation. It gives us reason, especially, to praise God for His power and for His providence. And those two themes come through in this psalm, God's power and His providence. It's a psalm that, on one level, doesn't take much explanation. It recounts all the things that God has made. And all you need to do is to read through the psalm and remark at how good and how great God is. Think of how creative He is. And this psalm lists a variety of different animals and birds and plants and trees and all of these things that He has made. It draws your attention to the heavens, to the sun, moon, and stars, which God has called into being and set into motion. As I said, on one level, it doesn't take much explanation. All we need to do is to open our eyes and to look at the world around us. And we will say, like the psalmist does, may the glory of the Lord endure forever. The works of your hand, O Lord, are great and magnificent, and they lead us to worship Him. But there are a couple of things by way of explanation that are important for us to see in this psalm. The first explanation is that I want you to understand how the Lord has not only created all things, but this psalm calls attention to the fact that He has ordered it in such a way that it is made for man. You'd notice that God made the earth and the sea, but then He pressed back the waters and said, "You can no longer come here onto the dry ground." And that's important for you and I because we live and breathe and establish homes on the dry ground. God has established it that way. He describes the vegetation, the food that is given to the animals, for one thing, but also to mankind. The psalmist especially calls attention to how the Lord made all of these things for us. And not only has God provided the things that are necessary, but He's provided an abundance and things that are blessings. The psalm describes an overflowing of bread and wine, things that make the heart glad. So not only has God given necessities, but He has also given us blessings, things that we enjoy. You can tell that as well by looking at the created order. God has made a variety of different animals. Just think of how many different types of cats and dogs there are. And you can marvel at the creativity of God. Why would He do that? That's because of His goodness and generosity. The Lord has caused this overflowing to take place. Even the seasons we would see as being part of God's providential care of mankind. There is a continuous pattern in the world of spring, summer, fall, and winter. The Lord has ordered it that way so that there would be seed time and harvest, and that those would never end. In fact, the psalm underlines His providential care, that God is the one who not only has made all things, but He sustains all things. And that can give us a lot of comfort in a world where just the environment itself can can seem very powerful and untamable. But here, the psalmist says that God made the ocean that is so full of powerful energy that's beyond our control, and animals and creatures that are without number and are even still being discovered. God made all of those things and controls them. One very specific word of application that I would explanation I would also make is that we believe that the Psalms speak of Jesus. Even though they're written before he was born as a child in Bethlehem, we believe that this psalm points to Jesus. John chapter 1 tells us that all things were made through him, through Jesus. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Genesis 1 tells us that creation is the act of God, that God made the world for mankind to live in. Putting those together with Psalm 104 points to Jesus as the divine agent of creation. It was given to him for a special, specific act. So as we sing Psalm 104, we'll be praising a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who is the Creator, but especially thanking Jesus for his awe-inspiring power that we can see in creating and sustaining and ordering the world. Three quick words of application then. The first one I've already made. Praise God for what he has done. The creation is incredible, and God is worthy of praise because of that. Secondly, God sustains all things, and that gives us confidence. All too often in discussions about environmental issues today, those discussions are filled with a lot of anxiety and fear over what the future might hold because of question marks about the environment. But Psalm 104 gives us confidence that God made the world for mankind and that he will sustain it for that purpose as well. Which leads to a third application. That to sustain the world, God uses means. And one of the means he uses is mankind himself. God appointed mankind to care for the world and to develop it. That means that we ought to be interested and care for the environment around us. And I know that I'm saying a mouthful when I say that, and that I'm not going to unpack that very much this morning. It's something for you to go and to tackle yourselves. But the questions that are raised about a Christian environmentalism should begin with a conviction that God is the one who made all things and sustains them, and has set the world, set man in the world to care for it to the glory of God himself. So as we think about Psalm 104, we'll praise Jesus for his incredible act of creation, and we'll be moved to worship the Lord and to care for what he has made. Let's sing Psalm 104. I'll invite you to turn to the C selection. Psalm 104, Selection C. And I invite you to please stand to worship the Lord.